Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Tamara L. Thank you very much for tuning in to State of the Nationals that airs every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, tonight's episode, we have none other than National Grand Chief Taj Tariq Bey, voice of the Philadelphia Corporation known as Atlanta Shackle Maxim, whom will discuss the misclassification to falsely tax the people under color of law. Now, for all, let me give a brief introduction. For all those that are in the Moorish Vine National Movement, this is a man that really don't need an introduction. Now, for our novice that's new to the ancient knowledge of our foremothers and forefathers, Grand Sheik Taj Tariq Bey has journeyed paths of uplifting fallen humanity upon the foundation laid by Prophet Noble Jerah Lee for over 40 years to help awaken conscious boards that's classified as Black, Negro, Colored, African American, Latino, and Spanish, and alike. He's the founder of the Moorish Order of the Round Table and has authored several books throughout the years, of which we're currently building on tonight, which is called Are You Confused About Taxes? Now, currently, he's also writing another book that's soon to be published before the year end. It's called Philadelphia Parkway and its connection to the wound man. Now, the bio can continue, but I know this is going to be a breath of information that everyone definitely would like to know of. So, and it's an hour show. So let's just go ahead and bring on Grand Taj Tariq Bey. Let's make sure he's in the queue to get him started. Right here. The queue is full. I had to find him. Good evening, Grand Sheik.
Islam, Tamara. How you feeling?
Islam. I am feeling wonderful. Oh, very much.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you're doing. Yes. Thank you for accepting the invitation to speak to the Nationals.
Yes. And I'm glad that you've taken the time to set up this forum to keep information going to the people, to help the people. And I trust that we have more sisters like yourself doing the hard work and very sometimes unappreciated work of actually helping the people. And so I give you props for that, and I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the subject for tonight, the misclassification to falsely tax the people under color of law, first let's set the issues on the parties in controversy. Now, there's a prime party and there's a secondary party. And the prime party comprises the natural people of the land, the aboriginal and indigenous natural peoples of the land, a Mexum, North America, whose consanguinity is direct descendants of the ancient Canaanites Moabites. And these are the true nationals of the land, contemporarily known as Almorac and America. Now, the word America is comprised of the prefix derived from Amexum, conjoined to the suffix derived from Africa. And the secondary corporate party in controversy is the hybrid Albion European descendants currently occupying the land, America, and that was done mostly and primarily under the Spanish Inquisition, also known as colonial operations of the Jesuit order and the popes of Rome under their Inquisition operations, commonly known as colonialism. And these hybrid Albion Europeans are doing business under the foreign for-profit trading human and human trafficking corporate entity styled as the United States Incorporated, Now, this entrenched entity has been falsely promoted as a country for the deceptive and extorting purposes since 1871. And its owners and administrators and corporate membership are commonly known as U.S. citizens. Clarity in statuses of the parties in controversy, as in any lawfully executed or litigated controversy, is primal and important for the distinguishing truth, for distinguishing truth from falsehood, for revealing impersonation, for properly identifying heirs and imposters, and for determining heritability, etc. And these things generally aren't taken into consideration when our people are considering their social, political, and economic mishaps and problems that we're having currently that have made themselves manifest more succinctly in current weeks and months than it has even in the past. And so for the sake of present and future references and for the sake of justice, we will note some important points of information that will aid the listeners in research and in directives for remedies relative to the current social, political, and economic malaise now plaguing America, its natural people, and in a more poignant sense, the entire world, etc. That's important because, as you already know, that most people think and have been trained into thinking that the United States is a country and have not been aware that the United States actually is a foreign for-profit human trafficking corporation that has been disguised deliberately as a country, and particularly since the Organic Act of Congress of 1871, around February the 2nd of that year, when the representatives who were operating as government under the legitimized United States Republic that is established for doing business at Morocco under treaty and constitution operations was actually overthrown during the Lincoln administration. And since then, they have been systematically continuing inquisition operations on the land under the guise of being sovereign country. And for the most part, except for most people who may be parties of secret societies and Masonic orders and different other orders, secret societies that have been operating at North America and in the world, these are the few who've known this and these facts clearly for years and decades, whereas the masses in general have not been aware of this. And so this is another reason why we're bringing this subject matter up. And as you know, in the book Confused About Taxes, one of the things that they have done over the years have been promoting among our people paid off members of what has been commonly known as boule members. And those were persons who agreed to be called Negro and Black and Indian, et cetera, for a benefit. And they answer to members of the Skull and Bones, et cetera. And they're usually set up as ministers and pastors and preachers. And they march the people around, getting them to agree to be U.S. citizens under the 14th Amendment, thinking that they're going to get a benefit, when actually they were being listed as stock and actually backing the stock market and the Department of Commerce for trading humans, et cetera, via the marriage certificates, birth certificates, driver's licenses, et cetera, all of which are bonding instruments when the people actually thought those were citizen registry instruments and identification. And you can see that practice going on commonly as people using driver's licenses as identification, and they were trained like animals to think that the driver's license contract of foreign trade is actually an identification instrument and is actually used for business trade and for economic transfers, et cetera. And so it's important for the people to understand these fundamental misrepresentations were and are actually designed to not only rape them economically, but they're actually weaponized to institute Inquisition operations for slowly draining the economics of the people, and then with the ultimate intent to physically, after economically destroying them, to actually physically destroy the people after that. That's why I brought this subject matter up. And I know that for yourself, that you have may have a few questions that were preset as the people called in from some of your last shows, et cetera, in this matter. And as a note, was there any particular thing that was primal that came up with the people in questioning you?
Yes, you know, there's the words are being said, but the disconnect, there's a huge disconnect amongst the people when you would hear the word, for instance, you would hear the word supreme law of the land. Then you would hear the word constitution. Then you'll hear the word Moors, and then before that, it would give a description of the body of people that are Aboriginal, Original, Indigenous, Autochthonous, which is the description of the people of the land, which is the Moors. But then you will hear the description that has been interjected into the mainstream of education, such as, you know, Negro, Black, Colored, Latino, and things of that nature. So,
and
one
yeah, and
has
US
to
citizen.
Wonder, and U.S. citizen,
yeah.
that's what we're getting at. And one wonder that you, for example, if you had an animal, right, and someone would say, well, that's a German Shepherd. Or if someone say, oh, that's a Chinese boxer. But no, but it appears that there's a disconnect within our community of one not being able to see the various misclassification of themselves that is totally taken away from their true pedigree and root. And it's like the blinders are up to not look at that. Now, in seeing that, now, are the misclassified Moors considered to be citizens of the United States? And if so, if not, why not? And if so, you know, just let's clear those misclassification and the citizenship part up for me.
Yes, and this is very important for, and this is really so important because most of them are not aware that the United States is not a country, but they were deceptively told that the United States country name was America, which, of course, even a child looking at a map would recognize that America is a large continent that extends from the northern hemisphere of the Earth Midgard planet, crossing the equator and extending into the southern hemisphere of Midgard Earth, comprised of the southern part of the continent, which is known as South America, etc. And they have been trained like little animals that America is a country, and so they're already mentally set up to use the word America, which is the continent, conjoined as a country of the corporate entity that was constructed under colonial operations known as the United States, which itself has multiple meanings, which you would also find in any law book, et cetera. And it's not knowing that it's actually a trading corporation. And in modern times, in your most contemporary times, they've actually been dealing with human trafficking, and more specifically, and being honest with you, a lot of children and women from around the world, they are actually at the foundation of that, including the pedophilia that has plagued the planet actually for centuries that no one wants to talk about, including draining the essence of children and using it as drug for they like to call themselves the elite, et cetera. And at the same time, tax the people and use the tax on the people to actually set up corporate entities and contractors to actually cause wars and injuries to the people, and also to contaminate their food, and also to fund vaccine programs for genocide, et cetera, under the guise of health, et cetera. And all of this is done under the guise of an imposter government operating under color law, a de facto imposter government operating under color law, and also with the descendants of the foreign occupiers pretending to be Americans when they're actually foreign U.S. citizens doing human trafficking. We have to get clear with the people the distinction between the geographical organic land and the corporate entity construct, U.S., that has been perpetrated as a country since 1871 and actually has been bankrupted quite a few times, and then their own private for-profit human trafficking bankrupted corporate entity has been transferring by its owners and its representatives who have been claiming to be congressmen and senators when actually they abdicated those seats in 1871 under the Organic Act of Congress and actually have become board members for the private corporation for the human trafficking that has been taking place on the land since then and pretending to be what you would call constitutional officers when actually they are members of the board of directors under the Circle Church and the Chancery run from Fleet Street, England, et cetera, which would include all operations of the judiciary branch of government, meaning all the court systems, et cetera. And this is the foundation of the color of law operations that has gone on. And logically, by the people not being aware of that, they have been easily adopting terms and phrases that are actually colored in their nature. And even the fact that the people think that colored actually means melanated Africans is also part of the problem. And so that's important. Also, with the propagation of them being promoted falsely to be membership under U.S. corporate citizenship, not knowing that they were actually being sanctioned, they were actually sanctioning every time they put a signature down for the corporate operatives and owners and administrators of the United States Corporation Company, which would include from the president down to the congressmen and the senators, down to the de facto governors of the de facto corporates of states of entities, down to the local municipal operations of the mayors and the council people in the boroughs, cities, and town districts, et cetera, in a network criminality that is felt by the people but has not been known relative to its origin coming from the very people that they thought and many to this day think is their government when they're actually an organized operation of occupational hybrid Europeans, et cetera, Albions, pretending to be Americans and are actually carrying out continuously the programs of Unum Sanctum and Doctrine of Discovery under the Spanish Inquisition against the Moors, et cetera. And as you know, most of them are not aware of that, so every time they think about their economic problems, their social problems, their political problems and or affiliations and agreements, most of the time any action executed by them is usually or from its foundation corrupted. And so we need to correct that.
Okay. Now, throughout ages, taxation is not new, such as, you know, it was the term was used duties. And there, and by the Moorish Empire being the most favorable nations, there were duties that were owed from the other nations in order to do commerce with the Moorish nations, such as the Silk Road, spice trade, things of that nature. So with that, now with the duties that were already a part of the mainstream of doing business, now, that was within your nation. Your duties were within your nation. The taxation was based off the goods and services, but not the people. Now we're dealing with now the people are misclassified and labeled as chattel stock and have that barcode of taxation applied to them, such as their utilities, water, food, rent, everything is taxed. I mean, from time you wake up and turn on the lights to time you go to sleep, everything is taxed through the person that is operating through that fictional character that was set up. If we were not misclassified, would these taxes still apply to the Moors?
Now, this is the point. The taxes never applied to the Moors in the first instance. And keep this in mind while we're discussing this, that anything that's constructed in color remains in color. Just because it's been practiced, it is still de facto. And although there's a prima facie body of activities that have taken place and that are taking place, and while there's a prima facie slew of forms and processes and agencies that have been established that move under the name of economics, et cetera, does not give it any legitimacy whatsoever. Now, again, this is back to the from the point of de facto corporate operations, why it was important for them to overthrow the republic and set up the U.S. democracy in 1871 in order to violate their obligations to treaties and to the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And, of course, in order to violate that, they had to violate the people. And this is the foundation on of the nom de guerre operations or branding systems of changing names of the natural people and changing names of lands and directions and altering maps, et cetera, and altering jurisdictional lines on the land and also making false claims on the land under the guise of them also claiming falsely to be Americans, and then systematically murdering Shakuns and murdering Sharifs and taking over systematically over the last couple centuries different parts of the territories, and then converting, and much of this was the conversion of Aboriginal titles and allodial titles. Most of that corruption, although it was going on here and there, took place under the administration of Woodrow Wilson around 1913. But prior to that, they had the processes of stealing the land under the Horace Greeley operations phrase of "Go West, young man." And this is where they would go all through the land and steal Bonneville's farms and plantations, et cetera, and murder the Aboriginal people and then claim the land and then claim to be Americans. And this is the foundation of most of their wealth. Now, with the advent of the suppression of the original nobility clause, known in the treaty and constitution, known as original article of amendment 13 with its 20 sections. This is why that's not taught or shared with the people at large. So they would not be aware that the Asiatic Africans of African descent, the people of the land, logically could never be U.S. citizens because the U.S. is a private foreign corporation and not the land nor country. They are the occupiers of the country, which is Morocco. And, of course, you already know they've been hiding that, as demonstrated even in a letter to the Secretary Root, I think it was around 1906, when it was referencing how the Moors lost their nationality. And this is also why they've been also funding different so-called Negro and Black organizations to constantly promote the Negro and the Black brand as if they were legitimate pedigrees, for benefit mostly with the setup that was set up by Skull and Bones operative known as Lyndon Baines Johnson after they assassinated John F. Kennedy. And this was for controlling their Negro marching preachers who they paid off and gave a benefit to march the people around and encourage them to want to be U.S. citizens, not knowing that they were actually being deceived into agreeing to be chattel stock on the stock market. And as you know, when they closed the Freedmen's Bureau in 1868, they emphasized the designation of their private corporation, U.S., as person, and to convert the estates of the Moors, who they branded as Negro, Black, Colored, Indian, and Latino, etc., to convert their estates into the foreign jurisdiction of the United States corporate operatives, which is also registered in Austria and in France. And this is known by all the politicians, and this is the basis upon which they built their treasury bonds. And this is why when you go into congressional records, when it goes into these matters, particularly in 1862, the year after they murdered Lincoln, you'll see a lot of the information deleted, or you'll see blank areas in the discussions relative to the financial system, et cetera, because much of the corruption that was set up for the U.S. corporate democracy operations that came out around February 2nd of 1871, that's why you'll find that the people will not find information on that generally in detail on those matters. And so this is to support the deliberate and fraudulent concepts that the U.S. is a country. And as you know, men who were designated as religious leaders assigned to the people. Keep in mind, these people were never voted by the people. They were assigned to the people, and they have come up out of nowhere from some church or something like that with some sob story, start marching the people around, protesting, et cetera, and talking about U.S. citizenship. And then they get the people to sign up as U.S. citizens and to register to vote, et cetera. This will be they will be designated as 14th Amendment persons, which is actually a corpse or a corporation. And this is the construct of the U.S. Treasury bonds since 1861, which you already know that has been used around the world for trade, et cetera, which, of course, they're having problems with now because you have a feedback loop, because the nations are no longer buying the U.S. Treasury bonds. And most of our people here don't know that those Treasury bonds are actually based on the 14th Amendment person, which they have been deceived into agreeing to be a party to. And this is, of course, that fictional construct by which the Pope of Rome, through the Jesuit order and through the members of the Circle Church and Chancery, which consists of all the attorneys and bar association members who they've been calling lawyers, et cetera, who's actually been mitigating and litigating the trade of humans, et cetera, through these instruments and through the Census Bureau, et cetera, with the people thinking that they were being protected as citizens, not knowing that they're actually declared as dead. And under that auspices, the members of the United States Corporation operatives and their subdivisional agencies were actually every day, even to this day, doing trade with what they call futures and derivatives on the backs of these people, and that has been the economic system. And, of course, that's what people commonly know as the straw man. And, of course, we've always encouraged people to read House Joint Resolution 192 to give a little insight into even that operation.
Now, within all that, that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit, the taking, to even really try to conceptualize the events that you're providing an unfolding layer of what has occurred from the usurpation, and which one needs to look up, which means the taking over control of and force of one's land, culture, things of that nature, government. Of that nature. So you've gone from the usurpation, the colonization and usurpation of the land of the Aboriginal Moors, all the way up to the events that occurred throughout the governmental aspect of changing from a de jure to a de facto. Now, all these things are currently affecting the people on a daily basis. Now, there's a saying, you know, that was, you know, long, there's a saying within the realms of no taxation without representation. So where's the remedy for the Moors that are in this current de facto operative, such as their place of employment, even when they just go get groceries and things of that nature, you're taxed then. where is the remedy within that, within this entire scheme of things? How would that a remedy apply, and what does that remedy look like?
All right, now we would go back to the issue of status first, because now the status of it deals with the person, the natural person, their capacity and their incapacities in society relative to their property as well as their rights. So universally on the planet, the remedy of a reversion of a state, and that would be also dealing with heritability. And the estate would also be the being, the person's natural being or right of self, and also right of all properties or right of what you would call possessions and ownership, etc., would be universally known as nationalization. And in the principle of trade between nations, which has been the foundation of general human operations anyway, has been trade, then you have treaty and constitution, which is why treaties and constitutions have been subverted, particularly here at North America, for that purpose, to subvert the principle of their obligations to the treaties and the constitution. And that has been the foundation that they have been operating from. And this is also why they don't discuss treaty and constitution, et cetera, when they're talking about the social, political, and economic problems. And this is also why the paid off, quote unquote, leaders who claim to be Negroes and blacks, et cetera, usually claim some religion, whether Islam, Judaism, or Christianity, and keep the people busy dealing from a dogmatic perspective to avoid dealing with the real problem that's really going on, which is colonial operations, unum sanctum, dum diversus, Romanus Pontifex, Inter Patera Divina, the Sister QV Act of 1666, et cetera, and the enforcement of treaty and constitution. They don't want them to talk about that, because now they would have to be talking about decolonization, which is really the root of the problem, et cetera. So the remedy for the immediate would be the clearing up of the status of the – this is why I clarified even as we opened up who the parties are, because the basic argument would be to go into what they have designated their race paradigm that was set up mainly by Carlos Linnaeus, et cetera, 1735, and used as a foundation to imply a consanguinity when in fact it does not. It's actually has been a psychological and political weaponized war tool to create a paradigm called race, et cetera, in order to subvert, again, their obligation to treaty and constitution. So here we go. Fundamentally, the people of the land who have been the target, their first point of remedy would be nationalization, clearing up of their own status. And by doing that, you would have in the nature of all of their thinking and activities what would be known universally as reversion of a state. And logically, that would reattach them under the security of treaties and constitution, and of course they would be enforced. Now, to look at a phrase that Noble Dralee made in relationship to that, in a most simple form, he said, "The Europeans are living off your virtues." He said, "Help me in my great missionary work to bring my people back into the constitutional fold of government, enforcing our constitution for the United States, etc." Now, as soon as you start doing that, logically, it would take you to the jurisdictional issue of the judicial platform that has been subverted, et cetera, by the members of the bar, and, of course, the enforcement of the treaties, et cetera, and their obligation to the treaty. And, of course, that has been and is the beginning of remedy. And, of course, with the people not being aware of that, they're getting frustrated, usually marching around and protesting, being led and being used as pawns in the battles going between the corporate operatives and the de facto ruling parties here pretending to be government, who are still arguing with each other over the estates of the people. So in a nutshell, I would say enforcing the treaties and constitution. that is with conjoined with the correction of the people's status, known as nationalization, for reversion of a state.
Now, in enforcement of the treaty, that's a collective effort, unity. Now, how would enforcing those? Now, how would enforcing those treaties protect the Moors from being unlawfully taxed by the foreign jurisdiction called the United States?
See, now the deal of the what made them class taxable is the nom de guerre that was put on them, which is commonly known by the people as branding. So most of the people have not been told. They were mostly told that being whipped on the back with a whip and marked, et cetera, or marks cut on them or burned on their bodies was the brand, not knowing that the branding was the Smith, Jones, and Johnson paradigm type thing and the renaming of the people with the European versions of old Moorish names. The Europeans took perverted versions of the Moorish names and as their names, and then put them on the people, and those are called nom de guerre, so that as the people would trade or buy or sell with the mark or the number of that name by virtue of law and legal process, it automatically made any action or any transference or buying or selling in those names made that state property under military wardship from the activity, and logically, by due process of law, all profits, et cetera, or any finance generated under the nom de guerre would be abandoned and also claimed by the state under the rule of wardship, et cetera. That's how they use that wardship clause, and that's why persons who are called Negro, Black, and Colored or their offspring are declared state wards. And anyone that's a 14th Amendment person is automatically a state ward and actually listed as a foreign corporation doing business in a foreign port, and they were thought that that made them a protected citizen. Now, of course, the treaty enforcement brings the people back into status, and because the people who are operating falsely as government are de facto and rogue, logically, the practice has been for them to do all that they can not to acknowledge their obligation because they are rogue, but keep in mind that they already know that they're criminal and rogue. The problem is that the people don't know that they're criminal and rogue. However, by getting the people active in these areas, the people themselves intellectually and politically and socially will stop agreeing to these unconscionable contracts or implied contracts or adhesion contracts that has been imposed on them, and also will learn the fundamental principles of contract. And as you already know, a lot of the work of clarifying the linguistic form and morphing of forms and the misuses of forms have been taught over the years by Abdullah Iltulib Mosi Bey in order to help the people clarify or be able to analyze contracts and writings and structured writing forms and morphologies of forms and transference of certain words or phrases from one linguistic form to another, and actually come back to its original true origin and meaning, and be able to better navigate themselves because they would be better qualified to read and not be misled. Now, logically, most of the systems that operate under the U.S. Corporation of Human Trafficking and Commerce is in itself based in fiction and fraud and corporate fraud. The people would themselves stop acting like a corporate fraud, and so most of the remedy will come from the state of mind of the people, because they themselves would stop practicing those things that delude the slavery intelligently themselves. And that process, as the people grow, would disrupt the bond system and logically cause a feedback loop, which is actually what's going on now in actuality. And, of course, you have a lot of disruption in everybody's lives by due fact and by default of the circumstance. However, for this stuff to be cleared up, this stuff has to be dismantled, and the process would actually become self-evident. And as the people start coming together back to principle, the principles themselves would encourage the unity that is needed, because the people would recognize the light line leading to remedy, they would begin to recognize it themselves and that it comes from them. Because the reality of it is that the corrupt system only operates under color because the people who have agreed falsely and sometimes unknowingly to be colored people, not knowing that it's not an African identity, but it's actually a political platform of fraud and misrepresentation that is actually used against them.
So in summary, the only reason one would be confused about taxes is because they're confused about their status and who they are.
Exactly. And confused about law and confused about jurisdiction. They've not been properly educated and made erudite in issues of jurisdiction as per the being themselves, which is in personam jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction relative to estates, trusts, treaties, constitutions, contracts, points of law, etc., estate, real property, real estate, etc., and territorial jurisdiction, and then that would go into the jurisdictional operations or powers of any agency operating, not being a creature of treaty and constitution, that they would recognize immediately the fraud themselves and would be better qualified to navigate their lives accordingly, because they themselves will come back into the law, being the law, and recognize that they themselves are the source of law, because as now they think the law is outside themselves and makes them do things, not knowing that out of ignorance they've been agreeing to unconscionable contracts and also being coerced into unconscionable contracts by persons who have been impostering as government, who are not government officials and not creatures of the Constitution and treaty, etc. And so as the people become conscious on who is who, starting with themselves, mm-hmm. they themselves will begin to clean this mess up. But as it is, the problems that have befallen the people is so complex that the people are buried in fear and confusion and think that it's more complicated than it is, when actually it is not. It is their will to, in layman's terms, referred to as rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Absolutely, because if your back is not bent, no one can ride it. Now, in law, you hear the saying that treaties are the supreme law of the land, but then
you do not see
the exercising. You do not see the exercising of that. It's like a blanket. Look at it like you have your land, and then you have the treaty as its comforter. And then someone is trying to put another comforter on top of it to hide it. But if you just move that comforter off and you exercise the enforcement of the treaties, which is your protection through your sovereignty, not oxymoron of being a sovereign citizen, but you exercise your sovereign power, which is the law within you, which is the law within, one would see the enforcement of the treaties would overshadow any constitutional or statute codes, law and ordinance that are being placed upon the people as of today.
Because now, and that's what you already know, the statutes are for corpses or corporations.
Gotcha.
They're not for the living
mm-hmm.
people. This is, again, whereas the people have been misclassified as foreign corporations and thus, by legal process, not by lawful process, taxable. And that's fundamentally what's been going on. And as they agreed to be Negro, Black, and colored, et cetera, all of these are actually corporate constructs of non-Negir, and they don't know that. They've been told that they were African identities. They don't even know that they're terms. They think they've been trained by their so-called leaders, tell them that they're consanguine African identities, and so the people have trusted them, not knowing that they were actually being led into a trap. And so when they release that position or render that back to Caesar, logically they're in the direction of remedy because the existence of the surety of treaties and constitution already exists before they were born. It's just that it hasn't been enforced and the people have not been themselves. So it's sort of like obvious. Before they can fix the other problem, they have to fix themselves.
And that's not really a hard undertaking within itself.
No,
now,
it
I know recently you had, before this pandemic took place, you had a message in a movie night, and you made the connection. I know we get into movies. You made the connection between the Wizard of Oz and the Straw Man and his operational, and the Tin Man and his operational, to the connection of the corporate fiction and things of that. Then you have the Crow. You know what was what really struck me is the Crow Anthem. I've been listening to it for a while, but the Crow Anthem basically letting you know that you would not win in that straw status. As long as you stay in that straw fictional status, you would not win. You'll never get out their game, because that's what it is.
Exactly.
It's their game.
Because that is the designed pawn for the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they designed the colored designation and trained the people to think that it was a term of endearment, of Afrocentricity, of people with melanated skin, that if they agreed to be colored people, that they would be morally realigning themselves with African and Hotep and Egypt, etc., not knowing that they were agreeing to be dead in the view of law, civil litter mortuus, and also will be declaring publicly, unbeknownst to themselves, that they were artificial people, artificial person distinguished from that which is real. So logically, all things real would not apply to them, and they themselves would by false agreement agreeing to all artificiality, and therefore an artificial person is a mannequin or what you call a dead or corporation. And then the persons who would have designated a wardship authority over them logically could bond or could write bonds against the living for the sake of death under probate, and actually contrary to what the people would be knowing what's going on, they would be actually transferring instruments in the name of these people. This is why all bills that come to the people's houses, et cetera, whether water bills, taxes, et cetera, are all written in all capital letters, which indicates the straw man that you talk about that's in The Wizard of Oz. And, of course, they're really talking about themselves taking over the real truth and the jewels and the wealth of the Sabian Moors or Saba, and this would be represented by the line of Judah, also Leo the lion, if you get to dealing with astrology, etc. And of course he has lost his courage and has no heart. And then of course with the Tin Man, which is Rusty in The Wizard of Oz, they have what? Stagnated industry and also taken over. And the Yellow Brick Road is your zodiac constitution, which is the foundation of a cosmological character of the Saba culture or the Sabbath culture of the Sabian Moors, etc. So all these are symbols. And also the silver slippers of Dorothy in the book, which they later turned to red ruby slippers. So you already know red symbolizes the flag. Also, it symbolizes the red pottage for the theft of the birthright in the book of Genesis, etc. So all this symbolism they're actually telling you, the history and also what they've done to you and what they are doing to you. And, of course, it deals with the bond system. And, of course, Emerald City is representative of Venus, et cetera, the star in the Moorish flag, et cetera. So that's, you have the green. And, of course, the alchemical metal for Venus is copper. And, of course, in the buildings of Moorish architecture, we capped a lot of buildings with copper and also with gold and with silver, et cetera. So silver is the alchemical metal of the moon, and gold is the alchemical metal of the sun. And, of course, those are the foundation cosmologically of the true monetary system, et cetera, which they have been stealing our gold and silver and copper and minerals under the guise of being Americans and being our government. And they've been actually systematically raping us and the land under the Spanish Inquisition that has been disguised as the U.S. corporate entity. So logically, to keep the people in the psychology of agreement, they've been promoting the 14th Amendment citizenship operations and the census, et cetera, so they could get more people to agree to be stock, and that has been the ongoing thing. So, again, it's back to what you mentioned before. The remedy is going back to treaty and constitution, supreme law of the land argument in order to subvert their operative subversions of legitimate government. And so the people themselves actually being the true sovereign must be active and they must speak up so that they can no longer be declared as incompetent. And, of course, a lot of things that has been going on as of late, you know, even with the platform that you've been operating with, Brother Shem and Brother Abdullah, you know, with the constructing proper consular venue, as others have been also doing to restore treaty and constitution operations. And logically, the people can't recognize the value of these things because they have not been taught these things. And again, as you already know, Noble Dralé set up the Moorish Temple of Science in 1926 to 28. But of course, you know that was infiltrated, and you'll find that out under the J. Edgar Hoover operations of COINTELPRO operations, which is why you will not see many of the people who claim to be following Noble Dralé talking civics, because of that infiltration and that traitor operations that took place under the COINTELPRO operations. However, many conscious Moors have been aware and have been doing research on the infiltration of the Moorish movement and have been exercising their obligations and their rights of birthrights to enforce treaty and constitution. And the work has been going on in spite of the infiltration and the treason that exists among our own people too, et cetera, with many persons being Moorish conscious who have been actually working with the hybrid Europeans to put our people back into slavery, which has been going on as of late. And, of course, the things that are going on politically and economically at North America right now is clear evidence of those breaches of treaty and constitution. However, as you see and as I see and many others will verify, the people are waking up to what's really going on and starting to work towards learning the truth about the political platform in operation at North America and are working towards to make themselves competent in enforcing the treaties and the Constitution, et cetera.
Grand Sheikh, we have our last 7 minutes left. And what it went by so fast, I looked up and just scared me that this is so much information, and I know that you can go on for hours. With that said, but one of the things that I see that some last minute words regarding status, I see that some people will start teetering over to understanding their Moorish heritage, but they'll say things like, oh, I'm Native, I'm Aboriginal, I'm autochthonous, I'm Indigenous, but that's not rooted in a pedigree.
That is correct, but it's designation. Designation of classification that is not identification specific. And I think that's a part of the problem, people, too, don't understand that designation is not identification.
Right. Do you have any last-minute words you would like to say to the people? I wish I could have took some calls, but the information was so great, I just didn't want to stop it from flowing. Do you have any last 6 minutes? Do you have anything you'd like to tell the listeners?
For starters, I think it'd be well for us to just note what status is in law. And so real quick, I'll just go in the law book and read status so that the people can have an idea of what we're talking about when we're saying status. So okay. Status in law, this would be Henry Campbell Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, page 15-8. Let me get the right page. It will be page 1580. And status is the standing, the state, or the condition. It is the legal relationship of the individual to the rest of the community. And then, of course, it has law cases that the people can refer to. And it includes, status includes the rights, the duties, the capacities, and the incapacities which determine a person to a given class. Status is a legal personal relationship which is not temporary in its nature, nor terminable at the mere will of the parties with which third persons and the state are concerned. Status, and while the term status implies relation, it is not a mere relation. And why? Because status also means estate. So status and estate are relative and conjoined because it signifies the condition or the circumstances in which one stands with regard to his property. And I think that's important for people to understand. Without a proper claim of status, you have no right to property or estate or inheritances. And logically, that designates the poverty situation that plagues all of our communities that everybody's complaining about and not recognizing that it all began with the corruption of blood, a corruption of your status. With that,
well,
I yield the floor, Brandy.
Thank you, Grand Sheik. Thank you once again for coming on to speak to the Nationals. As always, you're always welcome here. Thank you for tuning in to State of the Nationals. We'd like to please continue to join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, United Republica of Morocco. Now, if you would like to be a guest of State of the Nationals and have some really great content you would like to bring forth to people, you can email me at UnitedRepublicaOfMorocco@protonmail.com. Once again, Grand Sheik, Thank you for coming on tonight to speak to everyone so we can set the record straight. The nationality is the order of the day.
It is. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The way things are going now, I wish the people had a better comprehension and understanding, but guess what? We're faced with a dire situation that the people are in greater trouble than they think that they are, and that these people who they thought was their government has actually been trying to kill them because they are the basis of the economic system and haven't known it. And not knowing also that these people who they've been calling their congressmen and senators actually have insurance policies on all these people through the marriage certificates, birth certificates, etc. And these people are worth bonding finance return insurance claims on them, living or dead. And they need to be aware of that and stop cooperating with these people because they're not your friends. You better believe it. Not because I said so, but they're going to prove it to you because they're going to be doing all kind of horrible things to you, as well as trying to infect you with nanoviruses through vaccines, etc. And all of these viruses that they've been putting out, etc., are military operations and don't exist in the nature of their construct in nature. They are all military operations, and these people have actually been waging war against the people under the guise of helping the people. And that is the truth. And I think many people, even though people are in denial, many people are starting to wake up to that reality. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's also the price that we're all paying for having not been diligent relative to the generations that came before us. And so we have a lot of work to do, yes, but we're still breathing and we're still thinking. And so the divine order says you got a chance. With that, I yield the floor.
Thank you. You have a good night.
I.O.
Freedom!
microphone.